And what I like is having positive energy around me. And right now, I have it. Because I love good news stories, stories that have a happy ending. And the Cary Steele Pitts Home has provided happy endings for a lot of children. My guests today to talk about their 130th year anniversary. Actress, philanthropist, the one and only Victoria Rowell.
Oh, hi, Miss Pearson.
It's good to see you.
No, you're the one. Oh. Look at you.
And then we've got Dr. Evelyn Leviso, who is the executive director of the Cary Steele Pitts. And then our guest of the day, Katrina, who's a current resident. But today I'm also pulling in my engineer, Sharavius. Yes, because we're going to talk about being in foster care. And he has his own story, and he is definitely a success story. But let's back up to Cary Steele Pitts. Dr. Leviso, Cary Steele Pitts was found 130 years ago. Why?
Cary Steele Pitts Home was founded 130 years ago simply to respond to a need in the community. So this very humble woman, Miss Cary Steele, who was a maid at the Georgia Terminal Railroad Station, started finding abandoned children in downtown Atlanta. And this humble maid thought she would do something. She started caring for the children in an abandoned boxcar and then walking the children home with her at night. When she realized that this was not satisfactory, she rallied the community and built the first Cary Steele orphan home.
And now it's more than that. Who are the people who are there?
Yes, we are so proud. Number one, that we have not missed a day in the last 130 years.
Incredible.
But we're also just so proud that we have continually reinvented ourselves so that we can always respond to the current needs of youth who are in foster care.
And Monica, may I call you Monica?
Please.
Okay, then. I want to just toot the horn just a bit more. Beside me is a Melinda and Bill Gates scholar graduating from Kennesaw State this summer. We have a 100% graduation rate at Cary Steele Pitts Home. And may I say the quiet warriors that we have championing our home, such as the Ludacris Foundation, Chris, Miss Roberta, James Brown. We have generations of quiet champions. In fact, the Ludacris Foundation just underwrote for all of our youth to attend Black Panther. The Christmases, the Ludacris Foundation underwrites our summer swim program, and so forth and so on. And, of course, Dr. Leviso can expound on that, but I just wanted to just...
I'm glad you put that in. And, Dr. Leviso, you know, people are wondering, well, who are the children? Where do they come from? And the ages.
Mm-hmm. We serve all of the metro area. So the children come to us throughout North Georgia, and we provide care for youth between the ages of 13 to 18 in our residential program. But now we're very fortunate, as the foster care system has expanded their independent living services, we can continue to work with the youth well beyond 18. So we make sure that they've all graduated from high school. We are extremely proud to have a 100% high school graduation rate. And then we move them into post-secondary. So like Katrina, who we're going to have share in just a little bit, just what it's like to age out of foster care and to continue to have the
wraparound
support
services.
And that, I think, is the surprise with everyone, with you, Ms. Rao. They're surprised that you were in
Victoria.
Mm-hmm. That you were in foster care.
Yes, 18 years in foster care. And not unlike others, I had an exemplary Black foster mother who was of grandmotherly age, had already had 10 children of her own, and took me in as her second family. I was very fortunate. She was a primary foster parent, but there was a community of women that raised me, and what really inspired me to pen my memoir, The Women Who Raised Me.
That was the book I want to get, because just reading your biography and then say, oh, I got to get that book. When we come back, we're pulling Sharavius into this conversation. We're also pulling Miss Christina in. Katrina in, so that she can talk about her life in foster care and why Cary Steele has been so important to her. You're listening to the new Kiss 104.1, today's R&B and throwbacks. the new Kiss 104.1. Today's R&B and Throwbacks. I'm Monica Pearson, and we're talking about the Carrie Steelpitz home and their huge 130th gala that's coming up on the 24th. And my guest today, as I told you earlier, Victoria Rowell, Dr. Evelyn Leviso, Katrina, and Sharavius, my engineer. So the three of you who have been in foster care, tell our audience what it's like.
Well, this is Victoria. I will simply say that I was born into foster care. So from the hospital, I went into an orphanage in Maine. Yes, there were 10 black people in Maine. Now there's 9 because I left. But I went right into a foster home. And it's all that I knew. But as I mentioned, Agatha Wooten Armstead, mother of 10 already, she had such a sense of family and the support systems. There's chaos, even in the best of situations. You're moving around, especially if you're aspiring to get a scholarship somewhere, as I did with classical ballet. You show up at places ill-equipped. I went to the ballet audition in sneakers and capri pants. I thought that was perfectly. We all did. But I won the scholarship because the teacher was astonished. So there's just a lot of different things that happen. We fall through cracks. We climb back up. I just think that the most difficult thing that I experienced was trying to fit in with less than. And it's difficult. And to maintain relationships and build trust.
Katrina?
Yeah, I entered foster care when I was 16. And
you're now how old?
I'm now 21, but I still have that strong support system that I entered with. And I'm just amazed by all the people who love me and support me. And I'm really not being a stereotype. Like, a lot of people feel like foster care, if you enter foster care, you're pretty much done for. Like, you're gonna have a lot of hardships, you know, in your life. But thankfully, I'm not in that situation, and it's really amazing to me. And I wasn't really exposed to a lot before coming to foster care. I didn't know about college. I didn't know about scholarships. I didn't know about life skills, honestly. And just coming into foster care, coming to Carrie Steele, all of a sudden I was immersed into this new world of knowledge, you know, and people. And I was amazed. At first, I was in culture shock, honestly, and I didn't adjust. I was really in myself a lot. But after a while, I started to really adjust and notice, like, wow, these people really love me. You know, like, they're not trying to push me away or anything. And that's what meant a lot to me. And they were like, what do you want to do, Katrina? Like, you know, I didn't know I had options, you know, from where I came from. And I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, do you want to go to college? Do you want to start a career? And I'm like, what's, like, college? I can go to college? And they're like, yeah, and it can be paid for. So I'm like, whoa, wait, hold up. Like, where am I going, you know?
And Sharavius is shaking his head. Now, Sharavius, you went into foster care in Albany, Georgia.
It's Albany to some. Mm-hmm. Albany. Actually, I went there. I went in the foster care system before I was in kindergarten. And okay. I was there all the way up until middle school. And, of course, I was there. Then I went into a group home. And I was one of the lucky ones because, like I told you all before, if I can do it again, I really, really, really would. And then from there, you know, had I not got hired by Ricky Smiley, he's a really, really, really good guy. He hired me from Albany, Georgia, to come to Dallas, Texas. And by him giving me that opportunity, I really saw another side of me that I was worthy and valued, although it's still something I struggle with now. But here's the thing. You mentioned college. I didn't know anything. I knew about college, but because I didn't have the resources to really fill out the right paperwork, right, I got myself into a lot of student debt. Okay. And I didn't find out until like 2016 that I could have applied for college through the foster care system. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's so like, I didn't know that. And so, mm-hmm, but it's a system. It is a system. And of course you have the good, the bad, the ugly. But I was really, really, really fortunate. And now it's one of those things I struggle with. You all mentioned, you know, I was married, which I am. But I struggle with, can I be a great dad? And that's part of the holdup. for me, you know, having kids and everything. So it's a lot of things I still deal with.
Do you trust? Do you trust people? Is trust an issue?
For me, yes.
Yeah, trust is an issue for me, too.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that even when I talk to good friends, I noticed that I do have commitment issues, or, you know, committing to relationships, or to even just friends, you know.
Right. I think that trust overall is an issue for anyone, not only in foster care, but we're talking about abandonment globally. And certainly, you know, we reach out to our brothers and sisters that are struggling with immigration because they're a part of our community and are in our foster care system currently. But we band together. We have anchors and North Stars like Harry Steele Pittsholm, Sharavius, Katrina, myself. We have been blessed. And I think God blesses us, you know, why us, not, you know, someone else, is because I think a higher power believes that we will pass it forward, that we will pay it forward.
Yeah.
And hence we are here. And thank you for this platform to talk about our gala and about why Carrie Steele Pitts contiguously has been run for 130 years and why it needs to continue.
Well, in your case, you use your celebrity to make a difference.
This is very true. This is very true, Monica. When I got onto The Young and the Restless playing Drusilla, I did approach the producers. It's Sony, it's CBS, it's the Bells. And I infused my storyline with a foster care adoption storyline, which got congressional recognition. I didn't stop there. I went to Viacom and asked if they would hire emancipated foster youth at $500 a week. That took some arm twisting, but we got that done. And we got a foster care adoption storyline into that show. And now I'm working with Bob Johnson and his new streaming company, RLJ Entertainment. The streaming company is the Urban Movie Channel, UMC.TV. And he has given me an opportunity as a foster adult to produce, direct, write, and star in, with Richard Brooks, being Mary Jane, in my own soap opera titled The Rich and the Ruthless. And it is his most watched program. He's picked us up for a second season. I'm working on my third season now. And we'll parlay that into a movie that I will shoot in Richmond, Virginia, this August with the Virginia Film Office, with the DC Film Office, about opioid addiction in a well-heeled Black family. But all of this is possible because my foster mother, my social workers, people like Dr. Leviso and the Carrie Steele Pitts Home have lifted me and lift me every day, because it doesn't stop once you emancipate. It gets even harder because you have to sort out being adult, being an adult in society.
I hear Christina going,
Yeah, like I'm in that transition now, honestly. New experiences, just a new things to do as an adult, and I'm like, oh, talking to my college counselors, to my advisors, to my mentors, I'm like, how do you do this? Like, how do you do that? And thankfully, they're just so helpful, you know. Thank God I have them, you know. And I just know I don't know where I would be without them, honestly.
Now, Dr. Evelyn, is this the stories you're hearing from the three of them what you hear most often?
This is what I hear, and this is what is the hallmark of Carrie Steele Pitts Home, to make sure that it is that solid foundation for hundreds of children in the 130-year history. We're very proud that 127,000 souls have called Carrie Steele Pitts Home their home at some point in their life. So we know that young people and emerging adults need solid ground to stand on and from them to launch for. And that's what got launched from. And that's what we do at Carrie Steele Pitts Home, to make sure that there's love, that it's inviting, that their families are welcome, that there's just a huge commitment to education, lots of stability. We're also very proud at Carrie Steele Pitts Home that in 130 years, we've only had 5 executive directors. So that we
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
And that's what Carrie Steele started, and Miss Olivette Allison, who you knew so well.
I knew Olivette, yes.
Definitely that, you know, our fourth director, Miss Olivette Allison, who really grew up in foster care and raised at Carrie Steele, and just made sure that in every blade of grass on that campus, everybody knows the value of the children and that there's stability and love for them.
But the one thing I hear from the three of you that it sounds like you're still trying to get over, and you're there, Victoria, is somehow this feeling of shame.
It's not shame. It was shame as a child because, you know, you don't know who your parents are. I have five half siblings. You know, it's there's so much confusion. Where's half my family? What happened to my mom? Why was she incarcerated into a space? I mean, it's just a lot of things. Father unknown. I'm looking for my dad. I just recently made a connection. I may have found my family. It's so fresh. I mean, we were on the phone yesterday through 23andMe. Thank you, 23andMe. But they may be in South Carolina and Virginia, and we're working on doing it. We're going to do a test. But in any event, I don't want to go. That's another
amazing
show.
Yes.
But it's a part of the show. It's not shame as much as the confusion and chaos. As an adult, it's just there is a void. There is a void. There is a sadness. And that's why it's so very important to have people that are real friends, real family, not stick furniture friends that you lean on them and it falls apart, mm-hmm. but really have the stability, you know, of a Carrie Steele Pitts home. And Katrina and I, every time we see each other, it's just a natural
attraction.
There's a sister and brotherhood. Am I right, Shravit?
Yes. Charavius,
I'm sorry. There's just a natural kinship because of what we've been through.
And you know, Ms. Victoria, a few weeks ago, me and Monica, we had a conversation about the mm-hmm. forgiveness of the parents. Yeah. And a couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with my mom. And it was a tough conversation, and it's still a tough conversation because I told her, I said, the physical and verbal abuse you put on me, it really hurt me to my core. Now at 31, it's like I'm suffering all over mm-hmm. again, and I don't know how to communicate with you. But like you said, that's a whole nother story. So that void is still there, and so it makes it hard on relationships. I try to develop my marriage, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, because I don't feel like there's a place for me in this world. But that's okay. I'll figure it out eventually. So you know, it's okay.
I think we have to recognize that there are over 9 million foster adults in the United States alone, and that as culturally in the African American community, in the Black community, therapy, you know, isn't brought into the fold. We don't talk about therapy as much as we should, but we don't live from the neck down. We have to live from top of head to the toe. And so prayer is very important. Faith is very important for our survival. But we also have to look at therapeutic tools so that we stay out of opioid addiction, so that we stay out of other distractions, not to be seduced by the honey of power out there when we turn 18 and 20.
Dr. LaVisa, you are the executive director, so you deal with what these three are talking about. So how do you?
We want to make sure that the youth, the second director of the home really said it the best way. We want to make sure that we see each child and we see that light, that spark within that young person, and then just help that flame continue to grow. So we just want to find their talents and find something that will help them to heal. So for instance, with Victoria, with ballet, we've had children that have had that same spark. Katrina wanted to travel, so we just wanted to make sure that we exposed her to...
I went to Oaxaca, Mexico.
Oh!
Yeah, it was amazing.
And what about you, Miss Katrina, going to Oaxaca, Mexico? How's your Spanish?
It's, like, better, honestly. And I just need to go back, okay? I just need to go back to South America. I need to stay there for a year or something.
I just know one word, tengo hambre, food.
Oh, that was my favorite word in Oaxaca, though.
Really?
Yeah.
It's still mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a biology major, minor in Spanish.
Do you want to do with it?
I want to go to medical school, so I want to become an obstetrician, gynecologist.
Now, we heard you say just a few moments ago that at 16, your thoughts would never go in the direction of biology or being a doctor.
Exactly.
That's how much of a difference exposure has been at Carrie Steele Pitts.
Exactly. It was very impactful. Like, and sometimes I still, like, wonder, like, am I behind a little bit because I just got, you know, exposed to all this, but... I'm okay. Like, I'm going to make it.
Yes, you are. I know you're going to make it. And when we come back, we're going to give you more information about how you can get involved. We're going to tell you, we're trying to raise $550,000 at a minimum.
That's right.
So join KISS 104.1.
Yes. Stay with us so that you can hear all of the story. The new Kiss 104.1, today's R&B and throwbacks. I'm Monica Pearson, and we're talking about Carrie Steele Fitz and the huge gala that's coming up on the 24th at the Four Seasons, and it's going to be fabulous. This is not the first year they've had a gala, but this one is really big. Dr., I always want to go call you something else, so I have to look twice to make sure I say your name correctly, because you know I want to say Lavuzio, okay. And it's Lavizo.
That's it. Absolutely.
So why was the idea of the gala started, and how successful has it been?
They have been very successful, and they were actually started by one of our board members, V. Michael Jackson, excuse me, just felt that we needed to elevate our presence in the community. We're still very concerned that we're regarded as the best kept secret in Atlanta, and are just concerned that with 130 year history, many people from Atlanta do not know that we're there. Victoria has just been hugely instrumental in raising our national presence. She learned about Carrie Steele just from chatting with somebody at a coffee shop, took it upon herself to come by and just really see what a beautiful campus it is and the wonderful work that's done at Carrie Steele Pitt's home. So we really are hoping that one of the outcomes of this is that people know that we're there, and we've been there, and we will be there to serve children.
Well, as the producer, Victoria, what is the evening going to be like?
Okay, everyone, hold on to your hair, because this is going to be the event. I know there's always something going on in Atlanta, and as it should, but let me just tell you, you don't want to miss this event. The Carrie Steele Pitt's Home 130th Anniversary Gala at the Four Seasons Hotel, which is also one of our sponsors. That's at 7514th Street. Entertainment featuring the one and only Grammy Award-winning Branford Marsalis and his accompanist Joey Calderazzo. We have Ludacris. Thank you, Ludacris, who will be introing that program. We will have a wonderful honoring ceremony of Dr. Horace E. Tate posthumously. His 93-year-old bride, Mrs. Tate, mother and father of Senator Tate, will be presented an award. Laura Turner Seidel, she will get the Conservancy Award. Of course, her father's Ted Turner.
Yes, and she's quite the environmentalist.
She's become quite a friend. And also the Macmillan Stewart Foundation in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Kababa Gazaa, its director, will receive that as they give financial awards to not only historical Black colleges, but organizations such as the Carrie Steele Pitt's Home that is so rooted in education.
And you're also honoring former anchor Amanda Davis, who passed away in December.
Yes, we are doing an Amanda Davis tribute, and her good friend at CBS, Belinda, will be receiving the award on her behalf, and we hope her family comes. They're more than welcome, and they've been invited.
Her daughter, Melora, yes.
And possibly her mother. I also want to mention that we'll have Jaipur Atelier coming in from India and Los Angeles. They will have an enormous jewelry auction. Yes, emeralds. Mother's Day's coming. Gentlemen, listen up.
And you're the auctioneer.
And I am the auctioneer. Emeralds, sapphires, diamonds. A wonderful organization. They donated jewelry to the Carrie Steele Pitt's Home. Auction will have a Mercedes-Benz race package, the Four Seasons Spa Weekend Getaway Package for two, the Mandarin Oriental Spa Package. And we want to thank Lockheed Martin, Georgia Pacific, and more. Dr. Lavizo, who else do we have sponsoring our event?
We have been so fortunate. Hunton and Williams, of course, the Ludacris Foundation, the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority, Lockheed Martin. We're also very excited that the Deputy Solicitor General, Kenya Johnson, has organized that Ashley Furniture and T. Dallas Smith will come out and do a complete makeover of new beds for Ooh. All of the children on campus in support of this wonderful 130th anniversary with Ashley Furniture. Just, we are so thrilled.
Katrina is just smiling from ear to ear. So, Katrina, have you been to this affair? And if you did, what was it like and how was it special?
Yes, I've been, and it's amazing. I just love being around people. So when a lot of people just come together for one cause, a great cause, to help children in foster care, and honestly just to connect with everybody else with the same mission, it's amazing. I love talking to them, and I love being able to actually speak and tell my story in order to help. And I know you're never too young to be a philanthropist, so it's amazing.
So how dressed up do you get?
I get pretty dressed up. I love it, though. I love it. Like, normally I don't usually get dressed up, but for, like, galas and everything, it's so exciting. You get to see yourself in another light, you know, like, ooh, like, okay, girl. it's fun. I love it.
And Carrie Still Pitzone makes sure that, again, another aspect of being in foster care, I can't go to the prom. I can't do this because you're prohibited by not having the accoutrement so that you don't stand out as not having. But we make sure that our youth have what they need for graduations, for all the wraparound services, so that they have what they need to feel secure in the setting.
Well, when we come back, I am going to make you cry. Why am I going to make you cry? Yes, I'm going to make our listeners cry because the three of you are going to tell them why it is imperative for them not only to come to the gala, but also to become involved as volunteers at Carrie Still Pitz. And we're going to tell you how the money's going to be used, too, because that's real important. If you're the 14th caller, by the way, I got to give away some tickets. Now, there are these songs. I'm not Youngblood, but you know Youngblood loves his blues. So when Sir Charles Jones says, just can't go, or is there anybody lonely, there are people out there in their cars right now hollering, yeah. And then when Pokey Bear says he's a side piece man, you know exactly what he's talking about. And then when Nelly Tiger Travis says, sexy man, or if I can back it up, you already in the place. So if you'd like to have two tickets to go to the Blues Festival, be the 14th caller at 404-741-0104. It starts on March 24th at the Cobb Energy Center, and it's early in the day, so you can make both events. It starts at 2:00. So be the 14th caller to Kiss 104.1. The new Kiss 104.1, today's R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson, and I'm here with my guests, and we're talking about this really big event next Saturday. So, I have to start with you, Dr. Evelyn. The money raised from this event, how will it be used?
The money will be used to make sure that we're able to give the highest quality care to the young people. So like we've shared, the parenting that we provide the children does not begin when they turn 18 years old. So we want to make sure that we continue to support them throughout college, trade school, military, Job Corps, wherever their talents take them to. And as you know, it definitely takes money to keep them moving. They still need money for books. We make sure that they all get scholarships, but there's always those gaps that we need to just make sure that are filled in. As you know, a lot of times everybody needs to have their wisdom teeth removed.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
During their first or second year of college. And we need to make sure that we have money in reserve to see about those emergencies that can come up with young people. A lot of times the money is used to make sure that it's not just custodial care, that we're able to provide for those hopes and dreams for the future. So for instance, like Victoria talked about, not having the ballet shoes, so that the youth that we support, we're able to have the ballet shoes, we're able to provide the lessons that they need, just so that they can walk into the world and feel like I have something to contribute.
I noticed you had on here that which people don't know, you're community-based. They don't know that you're nonprofit. They don't know that you're non-discriminatory. And that's important.
Absolutely. There's nothing on our application process that asks about the background of the children. We just want to make sure that when they come, we are able to provide for their needs. And it is a simple formula to have them come, start where they are, give them what they need, and then start developing those hopes and dreams with them so that they can launch. And then it's beautiful because they give back to society. They give back far more than they've ever received.
And I know in particular that with Miss Katrina, she wants to be a physician and she will be giving back in that way. I can see her going off to medical school after she finishes Kennesaw State. But Katrina, I really need you to tell people why they need to be involved in Carrie Steel Pitts. Not only to come to this gala, but to be involved with the young people who were there. How it can really change a life.
Yeah, like this is the next generation of, you know, of the young people coming up after the generation. And I'm a part of, exactly. And I feel like it's very important that everybody is involved, like, come together and, like, kind of forget your differences and just come together and focus, because this is, like, a growing problem that we're trying to have a solution for and allow people to be able to succeed in a world that sometimes is hard to succeed in, because the system might not be made for you to make it. So, like, I feel like it's very important that we have those people in our lives, like our mentors, you know. I know I have my special people that I can call my mentor, Dr. Betty Ann Cook, like a LINC member, part of the Magnolia chapter, Dr. Melinda Thrasher, one of the top gynecologists here in Atlanta. Like, she allows me to intern at her practice, and I'm actually looking forward to interning with her in a more depth this summer. So I'm very excited. And Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice, the president
first women presidents of a medical school.
I had the pleasure of meeting her back in 2015, and she was amazing. Like, she was just like, hey, you can come to my school if you want to. Like, and I'm like, whoa, are you serious? And she's like, yes, I want to support you. I'm part of the Ensoro Foundation. She's very supportive. And every month or after every semester up to now, I just send her an email, hey, this is what I'm doing. And she's like, okay, great, let me help you through the process of medical school. Or, look, are you working on this? Hey, like, call me or talk to me. Keep in touch. And that's, like, very important. And I don't know, I just feel like with Dr. LaVisa in my life and Carrie Steele in my life, I'm a better person. I know I am, and I don't know where I would be if I didn't go to Carrie Steele. So I thank God that I was placed in foster care, just like how
Sharavius.
Yes, like you were saying, you would do it over again. I would definitely do it over again.
And I also encourage those parents, foster parents, or the ones who just can't simply do it or don't know how to do it, give us a chance. I say us because I'm still a product of the system. Give us a chance, you know. We just need one person to give us a chance. We're not bad. We don't know.
And that's a good point that you made. Because this summer I was given a position to work at the Defense Forensic Science Center, which is a huge forensic science right under FBI. Like, it's a very important defense, Department of Defense. And I got it by just having dinner with the executive director. I talked to him. I didn't know his position, you know, and he was just like, you know what, I'm a new sponsor of Ensoro Foundation. I want to help foster kids. So, you know what, come to my facility and learn something.
Oh,
and it's amazing. I'm still there. My internship ends in May, and I'm just so excited. I learned so much, you know, about forensic science, and met amazing people that I know will be in my life. Like, I can go back to them, email them. You know, like, it's amazing.
Okay. Well, you know, you've got a good mentor over here, too, with Miss Victoria Rowell. And so, Victoria, you get to have the last word. Why is it important for not only the children, but for society to be involved with Carrie Steel Pitts Home?
For all the reasons said, and we go out into the world and we are good ambassadors for the world. And it is important that we all, it's incumbent upon all of us to invest in our children. And children that grow up, some of us orphans of the living. And I would ask that everyone listening, tell your friends, your family, your church family, please consider going to our website, csph.org. The tickets are $300 each. You will get entertainment. You will be fed. You will really witness love and community in this room. I want to reach out also to our jazz community because I know you support us, Blind Willie's, Cafe 290, St. James Live. Please come out. Support our brother Branford Marcellus and Joey Calderazzo. I want to thank the Honorable Senator Nunn and Mrs. Colleen Nunn for underwriting the 50th floor penthouse for our VIP reception
at
6 p.m. We want to thank all of the community for wrapping their arms around us. And March 24th, you will not be the same after this spectacular evening that we're going to have celebrating 130 years of contiguous service. By Carrie Steele Pitt's home. Please come out.
And you're celebrating, really, children. Mm-hmm. And you're celebrating success. And you're celebrating hope. I thank all of you for being here today. You really made this a great show. And I regret I can't be there because I'm actually doing a program for Mount Perrin Christian School that night. So I can't come. But, you know, there's somebody out there listening who can take my place. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. We're going to have a ball. Well, that's it for me this week. You know what Mama Hattie always says is what you do with what you have that makes you what you are. Don't make excuses. Make work. Stick around. Checka's up next, and she'll have more tickets to win for you to go see that blues festival. And you know what I forgot to tell you? One winner and one guest will be chosen to meet one of the Atlanta Blues Festival artists. So you want to keep it here on Kiss 104.1. Enjoy the rest of your day.